Born in the valley and raised in the trees of western Kentucky on wobbling knees, with mama beside you to help you along, you'll soon be a growing up strong. All the long lazy mornings in pastures of green, the sun on your withers, the wind in your you for what lies ahead. The run for the roses so red, and it's a run for the roses as fast as you can. Your fate is delivered, your moment's at hand. Chance of a lifetime in a lifetime of chance. And it's high time you joined in the dance.
Oh, what a great song. Hello, everyone. We are chatting it up today in this in-depth with Nancy Turner. Nancy, of course, is with the wonderful organization called This Old Horse, and we are just thrilled to get caught up with her because we haven't chatted with her for a while. How are you?
Wonderful, and thank you so much for inviting me to talk with you. I've missed you.
I've missed you too. Nancy, things still go on, don't they? Even though we're in a pandemic, your horses don't know a thing about that. Would you tell our listeners, please, about your organization?
Sure. We were founded in 2012, so we just celebrated our eighth year in business. And we are our main barn is in Hastings on Highway 52 in Vermilion Township. And we now are managing eight different farms throughout Dakota County, one in Goodhue County. And so we have 120 horses in the farms we directly manage. And then we have dozens of foster hosts, about another 100 horses probably in our foster network. So we have really hit a home run with identifying horses that have some needs for care, and it's been tremendous.
So This Old Horse was founded initially, why? And I love when you talk about the way you love horses.
Oh, I was working with therapeutic riding program, and they were retiring the horses because it was very hard work for the horses. And I have a horse farm in Afton. And I had room for a couple of these retired horses. And after I got them and started working with them and my family got to know them, I thought that they were just incredible. And although they couldn't work full time at, you know, in a hard job, that they had all this that they could still give, and all this talent and confidence and temperament that made them good at their jobs. So I went to the organization and said, I think you should retire these horses. Where they are, you have volunteers, you have places, and they just weren't interested in that. If they weren't revenue producing, that they didn't want to have to feed them. And the thing, as you know about horses, is they eat like horses, and you can't park them in the garage because they were going to put gas in them.
You've been waiting all day to get that one in, haven't you?
So part of it is that, you know, that they have to, we have to find an audience of people that really loved that part of it, that honored their service and honored their lives, not just what they could do right now, but what, you know, kind of just that they're entitled to retirement and get support for that, which is how the community of This Old Horse started. It's people who really love horses, but don't just love them for what they can do for them, you know, what the horses can produce. But just because they're there and because they've had a good life and they deserve an honorable end of their life. So we have, you know, we have recruited over 2,000 volunteers over the 8 years, and we have about 300 a month volunteers that come and help support this and that just love horses you know, with their warts and all, you know, that the ones that are blind and horses that are not completely sound. And it's not about riding them. It's just about loving them and working with them. So we've had it's worked. We just found the right people with the right hearts and the right horses to kind of make this dream come true.
Nancy, you mentioned that horses are in retirement when they're with you. How long does a horse typically live, and how many years of their life are they, quote-unquote, productive in a working situation?
Well, that's interesting, because an average horse in this day and age, if they've been reasonably well cared for, is trending to live about 30 years. So kind of 25 to 30 is a really nice long life. We've had some that have been closer to 40. They have a long life. And when they are 15 years old, so about half of their life, are when people feel like they're an older horse, or they're classified as a senior horse at age 15. So you talk about a performance horse or a sport horse career. Thoroughbreds, racehorses, as early as 2 years old start racing. But thoroughbreds retire around 6 years old,
wow,
which gives them another 25 years past their retirement. Whereas horses that are trail horses or have an easier go of it, you know, might be going into their 20s. You know, so it kind of depends on the discipline. But the biggest problem is that people that have a horse with a short career, that if the person is interested in riding or racing or whatever, that they might not be able to afford to have two horses, so they need to get rid of one to get the new one, the younger, you know, the trophy wife kind of model. What's your next one that's going to be faster or jump higher? And although these horses are well trained, once their competitive days are over, there's really not much of a market as far as in that industry for them. So they're vulnerable at that point.
You also mentioned to me one time when we were talking about how you are in awe of the work ethic of a horse.
Oh,
tell our listeners about that, because that just warms my heart.
Well, the thing that I have come to admire so much is that horses like to work. They're athletes at heart, and they were bred to have a job. So they like to punch in and get to work and and keep busy. And horses also with that heart will work injured or sore, or they just do what they're asked to do. And it's so humbling and moving to me that even a horse that's really you just want to say, just stay still and just rest, and they just will try and try. And that sometimes, especially if a horse is at the end of their life, and really trying really hard against all odds, it's very, very heart-wrenching, because you just want to say, and there's people like that too, it's just like, give up. Just
right. It's okay.
Let's be at peace. It's okay, right?
You mentioned all your volunteers. What kind of steps have you had to take with the pandemic as far as, you know, social distancing or wearing masks, or how has that impacted just your basics?
Well, when it first started, we closed our barn to visitors and events, you know, in abundance of caution, because we have so many people that come in and out of our barns. So we just said, except for our essential feed crew, which are the AM and PM at each of the barns, that we were not having visitors or boarders or anyone come. And people were terrific about that. So then we had to contend with the fact that we have up to 6 volunteers on each shift at our big barn in Hastings that come. And so we had to put infection control measures and social distancing measures, all those things in place for our volunteers. And they have been absolutely wonderfully cooperative. Not one person has said they won't wear a mask, that they won't, you know, disinfect when they come. It has not been a problem at all, which has been, and they keep their distance. That was such a cheerful attitude on one hand. The other thing is that some people are laid off from work or working from home. So we have a lot more volunteers available right now than we have typically during the school year or whatever. Some of our volunteers are kids. They're not away at college. They're home. So we have lots of volunteers, and the attitude has been just tremendous, and not one peep about people protesting it. So just as of this Monday, when we had some of the restrictions being loosened, that now we're allowing the boarders to come when they're not volunteering, when nobody else is there, and schedule a time that they can come and be with their horse by themselves or with when the crews aren't there, so we can keep the distance and the infection control measures in place. And to our knowledge, no one has contracted it, or no one that we know of coming to the barn has had any issues. But you don't know that for sure. You know, we only know if someone is very symptomatic. But so far, it's been, people have been cooperative, and we've been really, really pleased.
Oh, well, you know, the song that we played as we came into the interview, Run for the Roses by Dan Fogelberg, love that song. And that's also the name of an event that you do every year in conjunction with the Kentucky Derby, which has been postponed, but you went ahead with a virtual fundraiser. Tell us about that.
Well, this is one of those situations. We realized in March that we were not going to be able to have it in May. You know, that we could see that. But we had already made some commitment to some expenses associated with it. We had ordered our T-shirts and ordered our medals. And, you know, we were kind of, so we thought, well, maybe we should move it back to September because the Derby is the 5th of September. Maybe we'll just push it back. But then it was so uncertain. What if we're still in the same situation in September? You know, we just didn't know what to do. So in the classic pivot, well, if life gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know, we make mint juleps, I guess.
Yes, but, you did.
So what we just did is we reached out to our community, and we just said we're gonna do it anyway. We have the shirts and the medals, and if you sign up, we'll mail it to you. So run, or walk, or lay on the couch, any day, any way. Just be a part of it. Just sign up, and we'll do the whole thing virtually. And we had, oh, I have goosebumps telling you this, but we raised $86,000.
Oh, wow.
And last year, our best year ever with our real event, we raised $57,000. So we had 48% more revenue from a virtual run.
Wow.
Which leads me to believe that more people will pay to not run than will to run. And I'm one of them.
Where do I sign my check? You know what? I think, or they really believe in your mission. And I think that's so true, Nancy.
We just hit a home run. There was over 500 shirts we sent out and medals. We ran out of medals. And we had people signing up even that day. And they were posting their pictures on Facebook, and we had more sponsors than we've ever had. It was just such, people just rallied around the whole idea. And it was my greatest fear, you know, this anxiety, because our entire thing is private donations in our fundraisers. And the other three fundraisers that we had this year have all been canceled as well, and no way to do them virtually. But this one, it worked. It worked. This community is incredible. You know, our United Promotion in Hastings does our shirts. They're so tremendous to work with. But they said that their business is down 75% this year. So, you know, not only did it help us, but it helped our local business, too, by continuing to do it. That was a good thing for them.
It was. You know, I know that the pandemic is really affecting the economy, and there's been a downturn, certainly, where people are losing their jobs. And horses, as you know better than anyone, are not inexpensive pets. So have you, unfortunately, seen some horses being abandoned because of that?
Yes. And I think the longer it goes on, when people have to choose the competing interests of their family, feeding their family and feeding their horses, it's really no contest. And as heartbreaking as that is, if they haven't surrendered or queuing up to surrender, and the more days this goes on, and it will, the more referrals we're getting. And what we try to do is work with the welfare coalition, the equine welfare coalition that we're part of, and try to get people help, like a grant for feed for hay, or just try to keep your horse and let's try to help you feed it before you surrender it. Because at some point, there should be a light at the end of the tunnel, and people love their horses. But we are seeing it, just the increase. All rescues are just seeing it, the referrals coming in and trying to hold on.
And then what do you do when you get a referral? Do you always have space, or is this where some of your foster people come in?
We are pretty much out of space. We keep adding new barns, because we have eight of them now, and they just fill up as fast as we can you know, find them. So we're always looking for people that have space that could help. We're just trying to, you know, also we have a very active waiting list for people looking to adopt horses. And the nice part, too, is a lot of people are, now that it's spring, and one of the good things is the grass is coming in. So if people can get their horse on grass, it's not as dire as in the winter when they have to find hay. But there's people that have extra grass and pasture. Let's say I can help just for the summer, and maybe that's enough for some horses and give people a break.
Oh, that's really a great idea. If people want to reach out to you in some of these ways, do you still need volunteers, or how could they do that, please?
Yeah. We have our website, thisoldhorse.org. And if they go and just contact us with email info@thisoldhorse.org, then we can, no matter what, if they want to volunteer or if they want to foster for us, we'll get right back to them and give them some direction on how to get going.
So tell me about little Harley. I see him on your website.
Last August, we got a call about a horse that was in trouble up in Stearns County, a group of horses. And it was so heartbreaking. They had 6 horses. And before we could even get there to help them, they had killed 3 of them because they couldn't take care of them and they didn't want to have, in their mind, welfare. There was 2 mares, which are female horses. One was very pregnant, and one had just had a baby, and that was a little horse named Owen. So we took the pregnant one with the baby. And Owen now is 1 year old, and he got adopted. But this little Harley was the one she was pregnant with, and he was born the day of the run for the Roses, I think. He was born that day, and he got adopted already. He is the most precious little thing, and what a miracle. And the mother, his mother is blind. She's 8 years old and totally blind. And she's just such a great mother, and it was just such a success story with just how what a terrible life they had, and then it just ended up that happily ever after moment for all of them.
So has he left your ranch yet?
Yeah, he left on Tuesday. His mother went with him, and she's going to stay with him until the fall.
Oh, it's all good.
And then she'll come back. So he'll be what they call weaned in the fall, and once he can start eating food on his own, then she'll come back to us. And he'll live happily with the wonderful people that adopted him. And so it just turned out so great. And I just think it makes you feel like so sentimental that she would not have survived living in the place that she was. And neither would either one of those 2 babies. And they just all have a great future ahead of them. And that's where you kind of live for those stories, you know.
Oh, I live talking to you. I love this. It's not nearly as fun as seeing your beautiful face, but we'll have to do that again the next time. And Nancy, you still are the only person, I'll tell you this again, you're the only guest that has ever brought a horse inside KDWA.
I'll bring one anytime. We've got lots of them.
I'm going to have to run it past my boss first. That was something was really hard to live down. Nancy Turner, she is with This Old Horse, and we're so grateful you called in today. And if you want to learn more, go to thisoldhorse.org. It's just a wonderful organization. Be well, and we will chat with you soon. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.